Are you ready to make a change in your life? The first steps start right now. This is I Believe in You with Coach Kathy McCarthy. Get ready as Coach Kathy gives you all the tools and inspiration you need to change your life story. Now here's I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on AM 1400 WSTC.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy. I am Coach Kathy, your holistic health and life coach. I am here with Beth Reynolds. Hello, Beth.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I have a couple of people. We're actually on live on Facebook, and I'd like to say good morning to a few people. We have Mike and Justina and Meg and, of course, Angelo and Gloria. Today, we are going to be talking about personal boundaries, and it's a topic that I think needs a lot of clarification because it's an important one. And it's the stuff that we say yes to when we really want to say no to. And why do we do this? So I think I'd like to define what a personal boundary is.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go. So your personal boundary is that invisible circle that you put around yourself, and it's what we use to protect our emotional and physical well-being, and it's what you stand for and what you're willing to expose yourself to. What it's not is a way to control or manipulate someone. So there is that fine line of your personal boundary, and I always like to put my hands out, compared to an emotional manipulation.
So what is an emotional manipulation?
So an emotional manipulation is what you do to coerce or make someone feel guilty to get your way. So an example of that would be threatening your husband if he doesn't take out the trash. And you make him feel guilty. That would be, or withhold something, that would be emotional manipulation.
So if my boundary is I dislike stinky garbage, I cannot emotionally manipulate my husband into taking it out.
No, you cannot. That's not a personal boundary.
Okay.
Okay, so boundaries are a way we take care of ourselves. So for me, I like to use boundaries as part of my self-care toolbox. And it should be a part of that. So there's another form of boundaries that we like to call boundaries that we use that are actually house rules. So, for example, when we try to get our child to do something, that's not a setting a personal boundary. That is a house rule. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if anybody leaves my home, I like to know where they are going. That's my house rule. There's no smoking in my house. That's a house rule. Now, that would be for the members of my home, but a personal boundary would be if somebody comes into my home, my boundary, which is my invisible circle around me, is that, you know, I would not want them to smoke in my house. Otherwise, there are consequences to that. So an example of a personal boundary, it would be a constant behavior that evokes a feeling of anger or resentment in yourself. So you know if somebody has violated your personal boundary by the way you feel inside, and usually this is a habitual thing. Mm-hmm. So for example, if your mother-in-law is coming over all the time and it becomes a habit, unannounced, and she's bringing gifts for the kids and she's bringing dinner to your home, and it's in the context that, oh, I'm doing my daughter-in-law a favor. I am bringing dinner, and I'm going to surprise her, and she thinks she's doing a good thing. But on the inside, you're seething. You're angry, and you're resentful. But your mother-in-law has no idea that this is going on, and you're not saying anything, but this is really bothering you. So when you have that feeling of anger and resentment, your personal boundary has been violated, and the violator may know and may not know what that is, that's bothering you. Another example would be if you have coffee with your friend every Wednesday and she continuously comes late, that would be a personal violation. That would be a boundary violation if you don't like people being late, like me. I do not like lateness. That's a personal violation for me. And that would be something that would be a personal boundary for me.
So why do you think we do, why do we let these people have this behavior around us? I mean, so there are a lot of people who would say, it's my mother-in-law, there's nothing I can do.
Yes, there is something you could do.
So what we're saying is that we have lost the ability to set those personal boundaries, that we don't think we have a choice?
We don't think we have a choice because it's hard. I mean, stating what you want to a violator who's personally violated, and it doesn't have to be a horrible thing. Like, they don't have to do something bad, but it's something that invokes that feeling in you and resentment, then something needs to be done, because there's some great relationships that you want to have with people, and sometimes we don't because we're too afraid to have that brave conversation for fear that we might not be liked or we might be seen as a bitch.
Yeah.
Right? So if we are at work and we're doing project after project after project because we're really good, and there's a few people who are not stepping up to the plate to get it done, and we start feeling resentful to them, when we speak our mind, we might be afraid that we're going to be looked at in a negative way. So we tend to stuff that, and we tend to justify it by saying, well, it's okay. This is who I am. This is what I do. But in the inside, it's really not. So that's why I call this part of our personal care, is to be able to speak our needs.
Right. So when you become very resentful because somebody's taking advantage of you, because you've decided, you've made the choice that you can't say no,
right,
it's going to back up on you and come out in another way.
It's going to bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. It's going to show up, and it's going to show up in a bad way. So I think it's important. It's a practice to state your boundary. And it doesn't have to be this whole big, this is my boundary. It's just stating your needs. You know, excuse me, I have a boundary that you violated. It doesn't have to be that.
Well, I would hope not, because that would be the most unpleasant person to be around.
Anyway.
But someone who says, you know what, hey, I don't like it when you do this, can we stop? I think kind of heals the situation and helps you move on.
Yeah,
right?
And I think in this area of the country that we're pretty good about saying, hey, knock it off. But there are ways to do that. Instead of just saying knock it off, there are ways to state your boundary in a very calm way without being too, hey, let's sit down and have this conversation. And I think that's where most of us fail, is that we don't know how to state our boundaries. We don't know how to say, or sometimes we don't even know that.
Well,
that's
what I was just about to say, is that sometimes you don't even know you have a boundary until somebody crosses it. And I think that, and then you have to kind of examine what's going on.
Right. And you don't have to state a boundary until somebody has violated it. So you don't go around to people and say, hey, excuse me, just want to let you know ahead of time, don't swear, because I don't like people who swear in front of me. And by the way, if you're a smoker, you can't smoke in front of me. And mother-in-law, just in case you didn't know, today's my wedding day. Do not come over unannounced. I'm giving you the heads up. Those are things that you don't want to do. Things that are a given is, like, nobody hits you.
Right.
You know, that's a given. But you don't have to announce your boundary until there's been a boundary violation.
Right. So when you realize that you hate it when people steal your food off your plate.
Oh, my God, I hate that.
I don't share food.
No, I don't share food at
and
all.
I don't either. But I didn't know that until somebody started taking fries off my plate. And then so the first time, I'm kind of like, oh, that really bothers me.
Yeah.
And the next time, I mean, this seems so innocuous, but these are the kind of things that keep you up in the middle of the night. You're wondering why you're so mad because somebody took French fries off your plate.
And then you try to justify it.
Yes.
Is it me? Or right. But no, I totally get that, because I don't like people taking food off my plate either. I'm Italian. Food is my thing, all right? And my husband will vouch, who I see just joined us on Facebook, that I don't share my food.
Right.
That's just me.
But it's those little things that I find that's what you're awake at 3 o'clock in the morning. Why are you so angry with this person because they did this, you know?
Maybe it's us, Beth. Maybe we're just a little crazy.
it's my
if it's keeping up at 3 in the morning.
No, I
That's another show we need
that's
to talk about.
That's another show
that.
Entirely. But I think that that's what we're talking about, though, is that you have to recognize that you do have a boundary and own it.
Yeah.
And then do something about it. And then it kind of, it's manageable. But,
yeah,
but
I think these are habitual things that happen over and over. These are just not the one-off things. These are things that happen all the time, whether it's your friend showing up late or your mother-in-law or a family member or neighbor showing up at your house unannounced. If you're volunteering at school and now you're the go-to person where they ask you to bring in all this stuff and you're saying yes all the time when you really want to say no, then that's when you really got to speak up and you got to say, no, this is not okay.
And I think we have a lot of us have problems saying no. We don't like confrontation, and that actually is the personal boundary, right? It's kind of like a flag.
It's right. It's that flag that says, you know what, this doesn't feel right. I don't want to do this. I keep saying yes. And then we wonder why we're so stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're sometimes our own worst enemy. We just continuously allow behavior to happen that we don't want. We say yes when we want to say no. We're overwhelmed, overworked, underappreciated, and we wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to our own fault that we allow this to happen.
Because we're having this conversation with them in our heads.
We have this whole conversation. It's a whole perception. We tell a story to ourselves that we believe, whether it's true or not, this person should know better. They should not be showing up unannounced, right?
They should not take French fries off my plate.
Right. How could anybody do that? They should know better. When we assume that these people know better, that's the first mistake, because they might not always know better.
Yes.
So that's why it's important to know what your personal boundaries are. And sometimes we just feel resentful, we feel angry, or we just don't like somebody and we don't know why. But 99% of the time, I'm going to say, is that we feel this way because we have not had that brave conversation with them to say, you know what, I love you enough to say that this is not okay. We need to take a quick break.
Yeah.
We're on a roll. What is your number one personal boundary? Call us at 203-357-1400. When we come back, we'll share examples of some boundary violations. Stay tuned. You're listening to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on 1400 WSTC.
It's time for a change, but where do you start? Relax, you've got a partner more than willing to help, and she believes in you. Here's more with Coach Kathy on AM 1400 WSTC.
And we're back. We've been talking about what a personal boundary is and what it's not. So let's talk about the people who violate these boundaries and what we could do about it. We first talked about identifying your feelings. So anger and resentment is a clear indicator that somebody has violated a boundary for us. We might feel like we're not being respected or appreciated. Now, the important thing to remember about our boundaries is that every boundary has to have a consequence. Otherwise, it won't be taken seriously. And the consequence needs to be something that you are willing to follow through. So you can't say, this is my boundary, and if this is not respected, then this is going to happen. Well, this is what's going to happen, that action you're going to take. You need to be willing to take that.
Mm-hmm. That's also more confrontation, though.
It is more confrontation.
This is starting to sound really scary. Not only do I have to tell somebody that they're bugging me, swallow that one, that they're bugging me, but also that if they don't stop doing it, that we're going to have to do something else.
There's going to be a consequence, and that's where the confrontation comes in. So the mother-in-law that shows up with the gifts and dinner, and it's bugging you, you're going to have that conversation and have that consequence and follow through. So example would be, mother-in-law, I'm going to have to tell you that it's really difficult for you to come unannounced because I may be busy and it might not be a great opportunity. I would appreciate it if you would call before you show up. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to answer the door. And not answer the door the next time she shows up unannounced.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Not only do you have the mother-in-law to contend with, but you got your husband. What the hell did you do to my mother? She called me up crying.
That sounds like an afternoon worth avoiding, right? Because she's going to be mad. She's going to call. She's going to call all of your relatives. She's going to tell them what you did.
And how horrible you are, and what a horrible person her son married, and how could you, because she was bringing gifts and dinner, and she's trying to help you. So that's where the resistance comes in. And a lot of people are going to have resistance to that.
Well, anytime you kind of change your behavior.
Right. So let's talk about the violators.
Okay.
Okay. So the mother-in-law who shows up, or the volunteering that you do at your child's school that you constantly get called to head up the event, or to bring in the food, or to donate this and donate that. The conversation may be, as much as I would love to do that, I'm sorry, but I don't have the time. Or I could do this, but I can't do that. And that's how you set your boundary, from a place of love, from a place of calm, not in the heat of the moment. So you wouldn't say, mother-in-law, don't come over when she's at your door unannounced, because you're already seething. So that's not the time. So,
but you're not saying that, you know, to stamp your foot and scream. You're saying that you pick a time and you say, hey, violator.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem. You're calm, right? You're saying this is a problem that I have, and this is what I would prefer, because we're not talking about, you know, evil people here. We're talking about people who just may not be aware that their
right.
behavior is bothering you.
Right. They have a good heart, and they're most of the time people think they're doing the right thing. I mean, our actions that we take in our head, we're doing the right thing. So to bring somebody aware, to make them aware that it's an infringement on your personal and emotional boundary, I think is important. And it's important to do it in a way where you're coming from a place of loving that person, and not when you're seething and resenting that person, because they probably don't know. And so it doesn't have to be a conversation that's like, you know what, we need to sit down and talk. It's just...
We need to talk.
Yeah, we need to talk. When you say that to me, that makes me nervous. Kathy, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Then I know that, okay, I've done something.
But what we're saying is that every relationship,
yeah.
you end up crossing boundaries because...
In every relationship.
But you can't avoid it. And if you are avoiding those boundaries, you're not having a very deep... meaningful relationship.
Right. And that's why having personal boundaries allows you to create these deep and meaningful relationships. Otherwise, they're fake and superficial. So it is an important conversation to have. Now, when it gets sticky, so for example, if it's a mother-in-law or your husband's best friend comes over every Sunday and watches football with your husband, but lately he's been coming over, he's having one too many beers, he's screaming obscenities in front of the kids, and it's becoming uncomfortable. I think when we have those situations where it might be our spouse's friend or family member, that we talk to our spouse first. And we have that conversation with him and say, listen, this is not okay for me. It's making me very uncomfortable. And maybe it's better if your spouse has that conversation where it comes from them, where they already have an established relationship with that person, whether it's his mother or his best friend or whatever that relationship is. Sometimes it's better to, again, come from a place of calm and say, listen, honey, your friend, you know, coming over, being drunk and screaming upset and he's in front of the kids is not okay. Can you please have that conversation? Or your mom is coming in unannounced, you know, depending on the relationship. And of course, you plan this out ahead of time so that it doesn't look like, oh, what is she afraid to talk to me?
Right.
And depending on the relationship, that might be a conversation that you have with your spouse, and they do that. So there's all different ways to get your point across, but I do think it's important to talk about that. But again, talk about it in a way where you're coming, so you're not going to cause that defensiveness. Like, you're doing this, mm-hmm. and this is bothering me. How could you not know that? That's not what you want to do. And I think so many of us do that. And hey, I know I've been guilty of that, where I've had it up to here. I didn't have the conversation ahead of time, and I was just explosive. And sometimes that manifests with my kids. If they're pushing a button, I've already had it up to here. And I'm like, that's it. I'm done. You know, hand over the iPhones. That's it. You know? Mm-hmm. And it might have been an accumulation of stress or anxiety from conversations I didn't have that had nothing to do with what was going on in that moment right now, but happened earlier in the day or the day before, or, you know, when I was sitting in traffic or something. So I think it's really important to recognize what those feelings are and to have the conversation before you start feeling that overwhelm, or you're despising that person, or you just throw your hands up and say, I'm done. You know, I don't want to do this anymore, because it is a hard conversation. And to kind of step away and let somebody wonder what's going on in your head is kind of a cop out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's just say it. It's a cop out. It's we don't want to confront the person. We don't want to have that difficult conversation. We don't want to state our boundary. We might not even know what our boundary is. So it's important to explore those feelings.
And what I liked what we talked about is, you know, you're having that feeling because you can feel it.
It comes right.
It's like
up.
A physical feeling. And then when you have the conversation where you kind of smooth it over, you can literally feel it leave.
If you're
paying attention, which you should, because if you're physically uncomfortable, you're not going to be a very nice person.
Right.
Is that the idea is you can feel it coming and you can feel it going. And what you want to do is create, you want that all to leave.
Right. It's like a cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels good when you could release that feeling, you know. And I really think a lot of our stress and overwhelm comes from us not taking care of our emotional well-being. And part of taking care of your emotional well-being is being able to have the conversation and knowing what your personal and emotional boundaries are. No matter what anybody else thinks, whether they're silly or ridiculous, like taking food off your plate, that is your personal boundary. And I totally get that one, because I don't like that either. I don't do it to anybody else. I don't want anybody else doing it to me. And even if it sounds crazy to someone else, that's okay. I'm okay. You don't have to like my personal boundary. I just ask that you respect it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important thing to do. And then don't make a big deal. Go on about your time, your meal, whatever it is. And that's it, unless it becomes an issue again. The only time you need to bring up that you have a boundary is when somebody has violated that boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll talk about the consequences of.
Well, yeah. So there's two very stressful parts of this, or at least it's stressful in your head until you actually do them.
Yeah.
One is identifying a boundary and that somebody has crossed it. Mm-hmm. Right, which is what we've just talked about at length. And the second thing is and to have a very calm conversation with them about it, either in the moment, hey, dude, please don't take fries off my plate.
Yeah, knock it off, please.
Because then there's the consequence of the person who goes, yeah, I'm going to take fries if I want them.
Right, and then that's when it gets a little sticky.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing your conversation ahead of time, or planning this ahead of time in your head, you could have the whole thing conversation in your head ahead of time. And it doesn't have to be this big whole thing. I'm really stressing this so that our listeners understand how to do this. So I'm overemphasizing it, but it doesn't have to be a big deal. So for example, if I'm going to go have breakfast with my girlfriend on Wednesday, like we do every week, and I know she's going to come late, 15, 20 minutes late, and annoys the stuff out of me, I might, in my head, say, okay, I'm going to let her know that if she comes late, that I'm going to leave after 15 minutes. Not a big deal, just that it's my thing. I don't like it, and I'm going to leave, and then we could do this again next week. And so when she comes late that day, you can say, hey, listen, so-and-so, you know, it really bothers me that you come late. It's not about you. It's my thing. Next week, if you come late, I'm just going to leave after 15 minutes, okay? Not a big deal, but it's just my thing. That's it. And if it happens again, then you have to leave. And if she gets upset, then you say, listen, we had the conversation that it's, you know, it's not okay.
Right.
And you cannot be responsible for how that person feels. And that's what we're going to talk about, because that guilt that comes in is hard to manage, because emotional manipulation from the other person might want to make you feel guilty. So I think we need to go to a break.
Another break.
We need to take a break. If someone is violating your personal boundaries, let us know. 203-357-1400. Next up, what to do when you get the resistance. Stay tuned. You're listening to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy at 1400 WSTC.
It's your life, but that doesn't mean it can't change for the better. The first steps start here. Now back to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on AM 1400 WSTC.
And we're back, and we're talking about having boundaries with consequences and how hard that is to do. These conversations are hard, and sometimes we're labeled as bitches because we're declaring our needs. And this is going to cause resistance from other people a lot of the time. So the other person may become defensive when we declare this is what we need. It's not okay to show up late. It's not okay to show up unannounced. It's not okay that your friend is drunk and screaming obscenities in our home.
But, I mean, I think, like you said, we all think we're doing the right thing.
Yes.
And so to be called in on it and told that you're not doing the right thing is going to make you defensive, even when the conversation is calm.
It can. And the other person, especially if the other person's taken by surprise, it'd be like, well, wait a minute. You know, I'm especially for the person that's coming unannounced with bearing gifts and food and helping you. And you are going to get pushback. You're going to get that resistance. And a lot of the time, the resistance comes in the form of emotional manipulation, okay, which we talked about is different than a personal boundary. So emotional manipulation is when someone tries to get you to do something else by using guilt, you know, a negative feeling, coercion, or telling you what you're doing wrong.
Oh, you're being very selfish.
Yeah, exactly. How can you dare tell me not to show up? I'm bringing you food. I'm bringing you gifts. What kind of person are you?
Yes, you should be thankful that I'm here.
Exactly. And sometimes we want to cave in because we believe, wow, are we really being unfair?
I'm making too big a deal about this.
Exactly. And we start justifying that other person and we just swallow it.
Yeah, or they're tired. Or they don't feel good.
Right.
Or, you know, they've had a bad week. Or, we let them have the control of the situation, even though, and it's going to happen again, and then you're going to double back and blow up.
And then you wonder why you're feeling depressed, and you can't stand your mother-in-law. She's such a control freak, and you don't have a good relationship with her. And every time she comes over, you roll your eyes, and you can't stand her, and you fight with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
That to the point where he can't even bring up her name because it's like, I don't want to talk about her. She just shows up here and I don't want her to, but there's nothing I could do. She takes over the household. She is bringing food I don't like, and she's bringing cookies to the kids, and you know I don't want that, and there's nothing I could do.
Right, and you're spending hours talking about this with
yes.
your friends or your own mother, or you're trying to diagnose their problems and why do they keep doing this to me. And yeah. It's an enormous energy suck.
It's such an enormous energy suck, and it takes over. It becomes consuming.
And you become boring.
Yeah, people don't want to hear it anymore, but you need to vent because it really, really bothers you when you could just not have to feel those bad feelings that someone else is putting on you. And this happens all the time. We do things because we don't want to feel a certain way. We don't want to feel guilty. We don't want to feel bad about ourselves. We don't want other people to make us feel a certain way. But the bottom line is we have complete control over that. It's a practice, but it's worth doing. It's worth practicing. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get it right the first time or the second time, or maybe not even the third time. But the more you stand up for what is important to you, and the relationship should be important to you enough that you love that person enough to say, you know what? It's not okay. And I think and hope, usually, eventually, that the other person loves you enough back to say, okay, I will stop. Or at least come to some kind of compromise. Like, okay, mother-in-law, every Tuesday and Friday, if you want to come over and bring dinner, that would be awesome. Matter of fact, join us. Join us for this, because that would be great. Wow, isn't that amazing? Now you've just created something better and you're both happy.
So you're not saying don't fling open the door and say, I don't believe you're here again, and let me tell you, with the finger, yeah. let me tell you. Yeah. What I think of you showing up constantly unannounced with, you know, things that I don't want. So how are you going to structure that conversation with mother-in-law? If your husband's like, if you want to have that conversation with her, you're going to have it.
Right. So I believe that these conversations and these people can be our greatest teachers, okay, because they may bring up stuff about us that we might not know or we might not be willing to look at. So I think especially if it's with a family member, okay? So it's important to have these things. They might bring up a feeling, an emotion that you've had for a long time that you stuffed that isn't resolved yet. I mean, Lord knows that I still have certain things that I'm aware of, that I know certain situations will trigger that feeling, but I know it's a feeling that I had from my past, and it's not something that is current for me. So I could say, okay, well, that's not really how I feel. That's something from my past. I could let that go. But a lot of us don't have that. Yeah, that feeling comes up and it still bothers us. So we act or we react from a feeling or a circumstance that happened a long time ago that has nothing to do with our present right now. So instead of having these people removed from our life, which a lot of us like to do, well, unlike them on Facebook, we'll say we don't need them. They're toxic people. When in fact, it's just us not being able to set that boundary and to say what we need. And this is such a great opportunity to enhance these relationships, to hear what the other person needs or wants. And if they start getting resentful or emotionally manipulating, say, listen, you know, that's not okay. I don't want to have that conversation. I can understand you're probably caught by surprise or you're upset. And I understand that. But I need you to understand that this is where I'm coming from because I love you. It's important to me. And that's when you can negotiate. You know, you could say, I want you to come over, you know, but it's difficult for me when you come unannounced. Sometimes my house is a mess or the kids need a nap and it's really hard for me, but I love to see you. Let's make it work. Mm-hmm. Same with the girlfriend. You know, I can't have you come late because, you know, I have to leave at a certain time and I want to be able to have all this time with you. And I feel gypped when you're 15 minutes late. I feel like you don't care enough to spend this time with me. And it makes me feel bad. And I don't want to feel that way. So it's better if I leave and we reschedule for another time when it's more convenient for you. And again, these are habitual violators. This isn't a one-off thing. These are people who constantly violate. And also same with volunteering or being asked to do things that you don't want to do. It's okay to say no. And even if you get that pushback, you don't have to take that feeling on yourself. You don't have to feel guilty unless you decide to. You don't have to feel shamed unless you decide to. That's totally on you. You can let that go. And again, it's a practice. Not feeling guilty is a practice. And it does get better. You do come to a point where you say, okay, I know you're upset. And that's okay. But you know, it's important that you understand that this is me. This is what's okay for me. You know, if you want to talk about it, we could talk about it, but, you know, I'm not willing to do that. Or, you know, I'm willing to do this, but I can't do that and not feel guilty about it.
And this is what we would want somebody to do for us.
Exactly. That we also need to be open enough and to be able to hear that maybe we're violating somebody else's boundary. You know, maybe we've done something or said something or violated somebody else's boundary that we don't know about it. And if somebody comes to us, we need to be able to say, oh, okay, I'm sorry, or I didn't know, or and not emotionally manipulate someone else by getting defensive. And I think that's, you know, a lot of us have big egos and we don't want someone to tell us what to do. And when that happens, we again start to feel negative, like, oh my gosh, we've done something wrong. I'm in trouble. I'm a bad person. I can't. And when we'll wallow in this for days, oh my gosh, I did this and I'm so horrible. But that we need to knock it off.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of times it's just you weren't raised with that being important. Some people's families are just not people who are on time.
Right.
And that may not have ever occurred to you.
Right.
That bothers that other person so much.
Right.
But, yeah, you have to keep showing up.
You have to keep showing up. I mean, in my family, there's some of us who love to be on time, and there's some of us who don't, who it's hey, if I'm, you know, 5-10 minutes late, it's called fashionably late, right? and that's not me. Hey, you know, sometimes circumstances happen. I'm late, okay? But it's not who I am usually. So when that is going to happen, I'm okay with saying I will meet you there and do that. That's my thing. And that's okay. You know, there's no pushback. There's no resistance. You know, it's been a boundary that was set a long time ago, and that's just how it is. So those conversations, those things, as important it is to set your personal boundary, it's just as important to value and respect someone else's personal boundary. And the issue is not to take it personally, not to take the other person's stuff, the negativity or whatever the pushback is, or their personal boundary on you personally, and to start feeling bad. We could avoid so much stress and negativity if we were just self-confident enough and have enough self-worth to understand that.
Yeah.
Got it?
Yeah, I do.
All right. So I think we need to take another break.
We do.
This is our last break. And next up is the homework, okay? And we'll talk about the homework. You are listening to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on 1400 WSTC.
It's time for a change, but where do you start? Relax, you've got a partner more than willing to help, and she believes in you. Here's more with Coach Kathy on AM 1400 WSTC.
And we're back on air, and I'm here with Beth, and we're talking about setting boundaries, and we're in the last stretch. And on our last stretch, I always like to give homework.
Yeah, and we're just going to call it the homework segment. We're not going to try to rename it.
No, I know. We did try to rename it, but I just really like homework.
Yeah, that's what it is, because you got to practice these things.
You do, and I like to do this so that you have something to think about during the week, and you do practice this, because this is how you make changes. So every week I like to give you one thing to think about and practice it and see the difference that it makes.
It's somewhat evil, because once it's in your head, you can't unknow the
right
fact that you have boundaries and you have to set them.
That's what we always say. Once you know something, you can't unknow it. So now that you know about boundaries, now you have to practice this. And I would love to hear how this worked out. So if you could join me on my Facebook page, Coach Kathy's Boxes,
right,
the green C.
The green C.
I guess it'd go this way. If you could join that page, we're going to have so much information there that's going to be able to help.
Yes.
And little bits and pieces of these segments, too.
So let's talk about what the homework is for the week.
Okay, so the homework, so setting boundaries is easy. Having the conversation and following through on the conversations is hard. But so when you give in, you're hurting yourself and your self-care and the relationship. You can negotiate. We talked about negotiations, but to come to a place where you're both okay. Now, even if the other person is not okay, you have to be okay, not take on those negative feelings on yourself. Saying yes when you want to say no is not going to serve you in any way as well. So practice setting very clear, effective boundaries and follow through on the consequence. So the homework this week, one, is to decide what situations or circumstances bring up that feeling of anger and resentment, because those feelings is what is going to tell you that a personal boundary has been violated and it needs your attention. So it could be personal or emotional or physical boundary that you have, taking French fries off your plate.
Well, yeah, and I think it comes with the mental note, and there it is.
Yeah, I love that.
And there it is. We've done it again.
Right, and these are habitual things. This isn't the one-off, somebody did something and you freak out. This is somebody who consistently violates one of your boundaries. And I like the word violate because it's strong. Mm-hmm. And it brings up that strong feeling. Two would be set a clear boundary with the consequence you're willing to take action on and it feels good to you. So don't set a consequence that you're not willing to do. So don't tell your husband, if your friend comes over one more time and he's drunk and screaming obscenities, I'm going to put my bra on my head and run around the house to embarrass you.
I'm going to call the police.
No.
I'm never letting
you
in the house
again. No, I like
again.
To really.
You want to put.
I want to put the. My husband would probably say, oh, yeah, you got to do that. That would be awesome.
But yes, that there's going to be a consequence that you're willing to do.
That you're willing to do. So if you tell your mother-in-law, listen, I'm not going to be able to answer the door when you come over, you can't answer the door. Now, you don't want to stand out the window and go, na, 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 I'm not answering the door and I'm home. You don't want to do that to take her off, but you have to set something that you're willing to follow through on, because if you don't follow through, you're not going to be taken seriously. And number three, have the brave conversation, but always do it from a place of love and not anger. And if you need to wait to have that conversation, then wait. Do not do it in the heat of the moment.
Why would we wait? Because when I'm mad, I want to let you have it.
Of course, and that's usually the worst time to do that, because that's not going to be a pleasant conversation. All that anger and resentment that you feel in that moment is going to come out, and it's not going to be good. So you don't want to have that conversation at that time.
You don't want to have a rant, what you're saying.
Right, and it's not going to be a conversation. It's going to be a screaming thing, and it's going to be a blaming thing. It's, you did this. Well, you did this, and it's going to be tit for tat, and it's not going to be good. So planning this ahead of time in your head, that if I know she's coming over today and you're calm and you're expecting, you're not going to be surprised. You're like, all right, here we go again. I really need to do this. Whatever, there's no right or wrong way, as long as you're coming from a place of love. You could call her up. You could, talk ahead of time. Whatever it is that makes you feel okay is fine. There is no right or wrong. The only right is that you do this from a place of love and not in the heat of the moment where you're feeling resentful and angry. That's not going to be a good conversation. And it is a practice. So you're going to mess up. I've messed up 100 times, but it is a practice. And you do get good at it, and you do recognize it. And then you're not angry anymore. Because you are stating your needs and you're following through with a consequence. So, number four, when you get resistance, stay calm and peaceful. Don't take on the feelings or feel guilty. Okay. So guilt is usually the emotion that we get from an emotional manipulator. So you don't want to take on that feeling, and they may be doing this subconsciously that, you feel this way. Well, you blah, 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 blah. Don't bite. Okay, that's just their defense mechanism, because they're probably not aware and they're caught off guard. So don't be manipulated or coerced or emotionally manipulated or coerced in any way. So knowing that ahead of time, you could stay calm and centered and not feel guilty, because this is part of your self-care. You're taking care of yourself. And this is how you teach your children to take care of themselves. We can't control what goes on the outside, but we can control what we're going to think and feel and do.
And you're giving them the opportunity that once they stop feeling defensive,
right,
to create a relationship that's unique to the two of you,
right? Because you love them and you want to have it, this is a good thing. You want to have this relationship, and this brings me to five: is to remember that these people can be our best teachers. That we could learn from the experience and heal the old wounds. So don't shut the door because it's too hard. It's worth the effort. It really is, and practice makes perfect.
Yeah, because you can't shut out everybody who pisses you off.
No, even though we might want to. But
yeah, I mean that's
another conversation for another show. How to deal with those angry people?
Yeah, but I mean I think that's if you make me mad that you're going to go away is not the answer. Is what we're saying is that
right.
you are connected to all of those people and you do want to have pleasant,
You don't want to start deleting everybody from Facebook because, you know, they're not following your rule. You know, be sure your boundary is about taking self-care, that you're not trying to manipulate somebody else to get your way. So look at that. Look at what your boundary is and why. You know, be aware of what that is and make sure that it is about self-care and not you're trying to get your own way by manipulating somebody else. So that's important, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And how much does this really, really offend and bother you, and why?
So we wanted to point out, because there's not everybody is on Facebook at the moment, but right. I do want to point out that Kathy's been doing Facebook Live this entire show.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have seen the behind-the-scenes look. If you are listening and you want to watch via Facebook, which is a nice way to do it, you can like us on Facebook at Coach Kathy's Boxes. On Facebook, you can send messages. If you're really struggling with trying to have these difficult conversations with these boundary violators, Kathy can help you. She zooms right in and helps you figure it out. And we're going to have some great stuff coming up, including a live event at Barnes & Noble at the Stanford Town Center on March 4th. And so please like us on Facebook or follow. If you're an Instagram person, you can follow us at Coach Kathy LLC. But we'd love to see you on the Facebook.
I would love to see that. And thank you, Sharon, for your kudos there. I appreciate it. I see you on Facebook. So like us on Facebook. Come to our event on March 4th. We're going to be broadcasting live. We're helping Trinity Catholic Middle School. I'm going to be doing a book signing and a seminar. Come meet us. Come say hello. Thank you, Beth, so much for being with me today. I appreciate it. And I believe in you, Beth.
I believe in you too, Kathy.
Thank you. Have a great week, everyone. Up next is All Sports with Bruce Hall. You're listening to 1400 WSTC.